Oh, sorry. I forgot we were recording that whole time.
The whole time. The
whole time. They got to see how the sausage is made, right? Which I don't like the saying. Hi, guys.
I don't like the process.
And Joel, you're sure, huh? We're recording?
I think so, yeah.
It's all right. We'll find out.
I think so, but.
Yeah, we're rolling on.
From Joel, that's a for sure, right?
It's as good as a yes.
Yeah. He's like, well, and we're like, great. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. How are you? Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Gonna.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
We're here. We're back.
Back. Finally, the three of us are back.
Finally, the three of us. Gary, don't say shit, okay?
Did everybody forget last
Gary,
week?
Gary, don't say shit during the episode. Do you understand me?
Oh, God.
Okay, so Gary's there, but he's not there, right? As far as you guys are concerned, he's not
there. He's not there, yeah.
Am I imagining things, or we were all here together last week for an episode, right?
We were, and I almost was like, oh, we're all back together, but a week is a long time, guys.
Dude,
especially for my favorite boys, huh? For my favorite boys, it's a long time to be away from you.
I swear to God, at some point, we're going to learn object permanence, and we're not going to freak out anytime people leave the room.
Yeah, that's it's a leap. It's called a leap when kids, like, get to next stages of cognitive thinking. That has got to be the last one, right? And I'm still waiting. I was supposed to hit it at nine months, and I just never, every time someone like goes behind a wall or whatever, I just think they're gone, they're dead.
Because
I forget about them.
Where's the proof? Where's the proof that they still exist once they leave your line of sight?
Exactly right.
I haven't seen it yet.
Exactly right. We've got a fun one today that, because of the nature of it, I thought that Kavetta, Joel's wife, picked it.
Oh.
But that I know. She didn't.
So there's torture or rape or something?
It on the face, it sounds like a real gory, crazy thing. There's a lot more to it. But if you read the headline, like if she read the headline to us in her amazing, you know, sexy, you know, voice, we would be like, oh, no, let's not do that. Right. But it does have a lot more to it. But you said, Coop, the reason that I thought Kavetta or some girl brought it to us is because
my sister brought it to
us. It's your sister.
And she's got a sick mind just like every other woman I know.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. This is a good one.
I like it.
This is a good one. And the fact that she picked it kind of makes me feel better about it, right? If it's just you or, you know, Joel brings me something, I'm kind of like, well, guys.
Well, you can't trust us.
No.
You can never trust us to pick a topic.
God, and by the way, never. Not as long as I've known you guys. Just kidding.
If you leave it up to us, we're just going to talk about video games all day. So you have to be here to keep us in line, keep us on topic.
Yeah. You'll tell me something and I'll be like, is there a video game or a chat room or something involved? And you'll be like, no.
Did they make a Fortnite skin out of it? Because if not, I'm not
right.
Interested.
Are we going to talk about Joel's, you know, Toe Jam 006 again?
We should do a video game murder if we could find one.
I've got one.
Oh, sweet.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
No, it's still in the works, but it's going to be done soon.
A video game murder?
Yeah, I'm still working on how to pull it off.
How, like someone who's playing video games decides to murder someone?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm the main character.
Oh, okay. But yeah, this is a fun one. There's a lot to it, but we've got fun... sound bites,
got some fun clips, fun sound bites. There's frat boys in this one. There's drugs in this one. There's a lot of the stuff that we all appreciate.
Yeah.
Frat boys, do they die?
Frat boys, no. So
frat boys,
don't worry.
Die.
Your favorite kind of dude is still alive.
Damn it.
Ross should have been on this one, huh? What can we tease about this one?
Delco.
You already know there's a frat dude involved. Florida.
Is
something
so that
we can say
already says that it's going to be an exciting case.
And
frat boys, Florida, drugs. It's not really any whores in this one.
No
whores.
There is some unique diets.
There you go. And this is a suburban nightmare.
Yeah.
A Florida suburban nightmare that we go, that wouldn't, right?
Oh, shit.
That's as much as we can say.
I think Joel's response to that just summed it all up. How big his eyes got when you said a Florida suburban nightmare.
He's
it's
like,
essentially
oh,
a,
God.
It's an Eli Roth movie.
Well, he's like, that sentence is my nightmare. Yeah.
So on the evening of August 15th, 2016, a resident of Jupiter, Florida named Jeff Fisher was getting ready for bed when he heard the sound of a woman screaming, which I got to admit is probably pretty common in Florida, but the pitch was different, so he picked up on it. Through his front window, the man saw his neighbors across the street struggling with an unknown assailant in their garage. Short time later, Jeff made the following 911 call. So
okay.
That'd be the 911 call link.
Okay.
You got it, bud?
Yeah,
he's got it queued up.
I didn't know it was going to be that quick.
He's got it queued up. Why wouldn't he?
Sorry,
yeah.
Should have let you know sooner.
Should we say the name while he's looking for that?
I got it.
All right, never Ready? Mind. Here's the 911 call.
911, you need fire, police, or medical.
There's no dude.
Police and medical. Medical on the line. Late, sir.
What?
He was telling his wife, don't open that.
Beating up a woman across the street.
Okay, are they outside or in a house?
It's in a garage.
Okay, can you tell if he has any weapons?
I think he had a knife, but I'm not positive.
Okay, can you tell if she's injured or he's injured?
Say again?
Are either of them injured? Can you tell from where you are?
Yes, there's a girl laying on the ground. He beat her up. I ran over there. I'm bleeding profusely here at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
All right. Can you tell if she's conscious or is she unconscious?
Say again?
Bro.
Can you tell if she's conscious?
No, it does not appear so, no.
Okay. And what kind of injuries do you have?
I've been stabbed in the back.
All right. Let's go ahead and cut it right there. So
was that metaphorically?
9-1. Yeah.
His friend
like,
betrayed
I'm
him.
Sad right now. I've lost a friend. Yeah.
I've known these neighbors for years. They told me my barbecue sucks, those sons of bitches.
I will say 911 calls and can be quite frustrating sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just people, right? This one's not bad, but some of them can be really where you're just like, bro,
calm the fuck down.
The 911 call, like the 911 dispatch. Sometimes they're just like, you know, he's saying he's bleeding profusely. Hey, do you know if the other woman is? He's like, what? What? Like, he's dying. Do you know what I mean? Like, is there someone else there, sir, that I can talk to that isn't bleeding from their back?
Have you heard the 911 calls where the operator just fucking hangs up on him? It's like, no, if you're not going to talk to me properly,
there's
then
really, really good ones. And then there's just people, right? Mm. There's really, really great ones. And then there's just people. There's one. Well, we can't go this far off the tangent.
That'd be a good 911 episode. Would be awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
There's one where a girl is, she calls 911. The person that has kidnapped her, whatever, that's keeping her captive, tells her to order a pizza. Go order a pizza.
Oh,
and she calls 911 and is trying to order a pizza. But that's like she's trying to tell him, I need a large to this address. And he's like, we don't, you know, at first is like, girl, what?
Oh,
and then he catches on and like kills it and is like, OK, he goes, OK, I get it. Do you want, you know what I mean? Do you need this? Just yes or no after that. And got her help from that because he was, yes, about to just hang up and be like, oh, somebody calling for pizza. So that's a badass one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a good show.
That
maybe
would be
just like running the gamut
of
like,
pick like 10 of the best 911 calls or something.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Sorry, digress already. Go ahead. So that you heard that 911 call of...
Yeah, so Jeff Fisher, the neighbor across the street, he didn't even know how badly he had been injured at that point, but he had been stabbed in the head multiple times and in the back. He was...
Where it like happened so fast that he's like, yeah, he was
on the verge of bleeding to death.
Okay.
And he was still... comparatively, he was being real cool, calm, and collected on that phone call, even telling his wife to make sure the door was closed because the assailant was still out there. So Jeff Fisher, hero of the story, in my opinion.
Yes.
Okay. Police arrived to discover one of the most brutal crime scenes ever witnessed by the Jupiter Police Department. And again, in Florida, big fucking deal for it to be gruesome to them. Two innocent people were dead, 59-year-old John Stevens and 53-year-old Michelle Michonne, and the neighbor that called 911 was in critical condition after being stabbed multiple times in the head and back. At the center of it all was a young man named Austin Harif, a 19-year-old college student with no criminal history. And we've got a picture of him. He looks like a sweet, innocent boy in the picture. Jacked as fuck in some other pictures.
Just normal college kid at this point.
Yeah, 19 right? years old.
19 years old.
Look at that hand
old.
On his shoulder. Look at those fucking chubby fingers, though.
Yeah,
that's, yeah, but that's a well off Florida family, right? And Jupiter too. Jupiter's not a cheap. You know what I mean? Isn't at this time? I know Jupiter now is like. Super nice, but
yeah. Even the, I mean, this was 2016, so it's still going to be a pretty nice area of Florida, not one of the slummier areas.
Yeah,
it's more of a like a lot of retirees and stuff will move there because it's not as crowded and popular as some of the mm-hmm. hot spots in Florida, but it's still nice. You still get the weather. Nice.
The town's called Jupiter.
Jupiter. That's where girls go to get stupider, from what I hear.
Yeah.
So at the center of it all was Austin Harif. I'm going to say Harif a few more times. I just found out today it's Harif. A 19-year-old college student with no criminal history. Investigators were now tasked with figuring out what caused a seemingly normal teenager to suddenly snap and commit such a heinous crime. And wait till you hear the details, because it was real fucking heinous.
Right. That's just an overview of what happened. We'll get into, don't worry, Joel. We usually, like we said, we get it out of the way in the beginning, but we're keeping the fun, dip-a-dip details till the end. So,
great.
Don't relax.
I'm not relaxed.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm nervous right now.
Yeah. We need to keep you know what I mean, heightened and nervous. Austin was born in December of 1996 in Palm Beach, Florida, another pretty nice area. His parents, Wade and Mina, got divorced when Austin was 13 years old, which we know always leads to murder, right? Just kidding.
It's only a matter of time.
I'm good. Me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to murder anybody, you know?
Wink.
So, leading Austin and his younger sister to move in with their mother. Austin wasn't much of a scholar, but got good enough grades to get by. What he did excel at was sports. Austin played defensive tackle on the school football team and was one of the better wrestlers at the school. Along with sports is how I know he's not paying attention. He would have said gay. yeah. Is it good? I need to keep you on your toes.
I was prepping the next thing.
All right. And now I can't.
I'm multitasking.
Now I'm being a bitch, right? You're right.
A lot of times in scripts, they'll put like pause for laughter or pause for mm-hmm. applause. I'll start putting pause for gay in the notes.
Yeah, yeah. Could you? Because then, I mean, I already know. Like, I know him well enough and know his disease well enough that like... There's certain things that will always get a gay, and that's how I know he was doing something else, right? but he played defensive, was a better wrestler at school. Along with sports, Austin also developed a passion for fitness and bodybuilding. Cool. He's a cool Florida dude. All of the physical activity made him exceptionally strong for his age. Luckily, he was a happy-go-lucky type of guy. So nobody had to worry about him being violent or aggressive outside of sports. So
right.
Don't worry about him, right?
No, you don't got to worry about him. Super nice guy. He was in really, really good shape, though. He was passionate about fitness, played a lot of sports.
And by the way, not in that picture.
Not in that picture. Yeah. That was the whole freshman 15 thing that we'll talk about later.
The whole party.
Same for the almost the exact same reason that I've gained like 25 pounds since I moved to Texas.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
Sports weren't the only hobby Austin had while he was in high school. He also liked to take part in the national pastime of Ireland, which I can speak to, binge drinking. While Austin was kind to his family and friends, he battered his liver like Ike Turner wailing on Tina. By the time he was 17 years old, he was drinking to the point of blacking out on a regular basis. After graduating high school, Austin went to Florida State University to study biology.
And continue binge drinking.
I'm here to crush pussy and get a degree. A lot of pussy.
So he's doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing I did, except I didn't go to college.
age-wise? Yeah.
Binge drinking? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got some stuff in common with this guy.
Yeah.
As a hard-partying, sports-playing, pussy-crushing alpha male, it goes without saying that Austin joined a frat as soon as he could, and God bless him for it. He joined the Alpha Delta Phi fraternity, where he found a brotherhood that was just as passionate about drinking as he was.
That's all it is, right? Drinking, I wouldn't know, but that's the frat. Yeah, just kidding.
I thought it was a sex thing.
That's what I always thought.
I think it's a drinking thing, and then it makes it easier to get sex.
With each other.
Because there's just girls there.
Oh.
Even if they're girls. Not for you. Well, they come to the parties and stuff.
Oh.
And you, like, live there.
I thought fraternities was, like, was a gay thing.
Yes.
Like,
but in, like, a sweet way.
Yeah.
It's gay in a totally straight way.
They're gay for pussy.
It's straight in a Greek manner. I guess you could put it that way.
Sick.
Yeah. One of the many drawbacks of alcohol is the effects it can have on our health. Being young and in good physical condition, Austin had a few years before he had to worry about liver damage. But the weight gain, however, hit him fast. Austin gained the customary freshman 15, then continued to put on the pounds until he decided that his urge to drink wasn't as great as his urge to have a killer beach bod.
Damn straight.
Seeing his waistline perpetually expand drove Austin to cut back on his drinking. He wasn't about to cut back on his partying, though, so he needed to find a new way to get blitzed and was diet friendly. Luckily for him, Florida colleges are like Costco for drugs, so he had no difficulty finding a new vice. Multiple new vices, actually. Instead of binge drinking, Austin began shoveling low-calorie, sugar-free drugs into his system like South Beach, Keith Richards. Weed, mushrooms, acid, and Molly were just a few of the illicit substances Austin would partake in. This was on top of the usual college student diet of Adderall. So, coffee and ramen noodles. So, he is in peak health.
Peak physical mentally. Condition. Yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly surprising that anyone actually survives to graduate college.
True.
For real.
I
think it's a testament to how little you actually have to do on a daily. Do you know what I mean? Like, go to a class, party. You know, like, I think it's what we always thought, which is just like, just make sure your work is turned in. You know?
Do you have
to be there every time? I don't know. It's not like fucking keeping tabs on you.
I think it's also somewhat of it's like the modern day equivalent of the spirit journeys that Native Americans used to go on, except instead of like going out into the wilderness and surviving off the land and fighting a bear, you're going off to a super expensive college, living off of shitty food, getting drunk all the time and
to learn how to, you know, maybe cut back during the week. And go hard on the weekends. But it takes a while to learn that adult life.
That makes it kind of like Rumspringa for the Amish.
Yes.
It's like, go out there, see how bad it can be. And once you get it out of your system, go ahead and come back to the fold.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool guy adult training. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be cool? but still get your work done in life and like whatever, learn it in college.
And the super cool ones never grow out of it. They just keep partying.
Yeah.
I only made it 2 years in college.
Yeah.
2 years in community college, and I dropped out in the second year.
That's 2 years longer than I made it.
That's cool. That's cool. So, I like how we're talking about it. Like, I wonder what college is like about. People are like, what the fuck? Yeah.
It's like, I think this is what they go to college for, but I haven't.
Doesn't it just teach you how to like take it easy during the week? Yeah, been. Jesse, that's what you missed. Yeah. Hey guys, I wanted to tell you about a new sponsor on Crime Corner that I'm really excited about. Mochi Health. M-O-C-H-I Health. Mochi Health. You guys know I have one soapbox, right? I have one thing that I will, you know, get a little preachy about, and that's it. But you guys know what it is. Our healthcare system has a history of blaming people's weight on their, you know, bad behavior. It's a moral failing. You know, you're going to have to fix that first before we can help you with anything else. But in the meantime, we will, you know, treat your symptoms. Okay, I'm going to stop. But the reason why I love Mochi Health and that it's a perfect sponsor for me and my crazy soapbox is it's a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking weight loss treatment, whatever that means for you, to they're connecting you guys to board certified doctors and dietitians to help determine what the best options and what the best plan is to get you to that whatever goal you may have. Again, that could be GLP-1s, that could be GLP-1s for a little bit of time, coupled with, you know, their nutritionists that can help you get to a place where you may not be on GLP-1s anymore, which is probably everyone's goal. But they are going to talk to you and treat you as a patient that is individual, but it's all online. So you can, you know, access their services anywhere in the US, and you will be meeting with their team online. And you guys together, the doctor, the board certified nutritionist and doctor that you talk to, you guys can decide what it is that you want to do moving forward. They do have, you know, access to GLP-1s, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound, all of those versions of that, compounded versions of that. They connect the providers with the patients to discuss evidence-based weight loss strategies using every tool in their toolbox, licensed RDNs, MDs, they're certified in obesity medicine. You know, whatever you're dealing with, talk to the doctors at Mochi, and they will come up with, based on what you're telling them, fears, you know, your background, whatever it may be, they're going to come up with the best thing that's going to work for you and get you into a healthy place, right? Don't get me started. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle and that are going to get you to a place where this is going to be a big change in your life. I love Mochi. I love their approach. I love the way that they're trying to change the way healthcare works in this country, and especially how healthcare deals with obesity or weight or anything. I love that about them. Get started today. Go to joinmochi.com. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE. Just like how it sounds, guys, you know Crime Juice. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE to receive $40 off. That is a great deal. Go to joinmochi.com. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE to get $40 off. And listen, just talk to them. See if it's something that you want to do, if it's something that can help you. That's the kind of place that Mochi is. Check them out.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order. Order in this courtroom. Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some sweet tangle apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Much like drinking alcohol, recreational drug use can be harmless when it's practiced responsibly, and that is something that I wholeheartedly believe.
Yeah. You,
I think Holloway was saying that it, if you do drugs like an adult, it's not a problem. Mm. That is, as long as you don't have any underlying mental conditions that may be brought to the surface with the use of psychotropic substances.
Uh-oh.
In some cases, people with undiagnosed mental disorders can accidentally trigger full-blown psychotic episodes through drug use, even if they have never shown symptoms before. In Austin's case, he may have overlooked a few symptoms. Throughout his teen years, Austin suffered through periods of depression, which I'm sure we all did through our teen years, being angsty, whining little shits. But also considering the issues that with his parents' failed marriage and growing up in a broken home, it's not surprising that he would get a case of the blues every now and then. However, in these situations, a red flag to look out for is a combination of extreme highs and extreme lows, as this could be a symptom of cyclothymia or bipolar disorder.
Cool. Can you find a picture of him when he's fucking jacked? Or do you have
there, that? I found videos of him when he was jacked, what? But not as many pictures. All the pictures that I found of him when he was jacked were all like way after the fact.
That's a bummer for me, huh? We're always showing fucking hot chicks for you guys.
As you should.
Yeah, and you'd have no problem finding those pics, huh? But yeah, hey, Jesse wants to see when he's like looking good. We looked all over. We couldn't find
it. That's kind of weird how that works. It must be like a pink tax thing.
Yeah. Like your computer keeps you from finding. I get it.
I'm sorry. Just the fact of the matter is I can't look up gay shit on my computer.
Oh,
I can
find
porn all day.
Yeah, your dad put that block on there for you, huh? Mm-hmm. No more gay shit.
He had to put his foot down at some point. It was affecting my life.
Yeah.
Gay block.
Yeah, I think McAfee came up with that. Got it. Okay.
So that's a little more muscular. That's actually not him at his biggest.
Don't you love that it's like a better picture of the girl that he's with, you motherfuckers? Exactly what I just said. You could barely see him, and it's like, oh, here it is. There's like a hot chick out front. And he's like kind of in the back. You can't even see his wiener. Yeah. He's got his like head cut off and it's like stops right under here.
He's the one. Okay. There we go.
And yeah, that was in high school probably.
Who's the man in the bottom right?
Yeah, the man in the bottom right is Wade. Wade Harif. That's his father.
Oh, that's
and you can see exactly how proud he is of his son.
Okay, so that's a That's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
Also,
he's in high school there, so I'm not going to.
You want
to say that?
You're not going to talk about his wiener?
He looks like literally like a baby, but I could see that he's jacked.
His wiener was in the bottom right corner, so you could see it. But yeah. People that were looking closely will notice the shade of blue used in the background in that picture of his father. It's a very specific shade of blue that's only seen on the Dr. Phil show.
Yeah.
I was going to guess
that. Why don't you explain bipolar?
So bipolar disorder and its little brother, cyclothymia, are chemical imbalances in the brain that cause a person to go through extremely low depression followed by manic phases. The manic phase is like depression, but in the exact opposite direction. I'm sure that we've all dealt with people that are manic before, like manic depressive.
Yeah, it's all have.
It's a harrowing experience. It really does come across like full-blown psychosis, but in a super fun way, which I think makes it more dangerous.
Yes.
Because they have so much energy, so much drive, and you're like, oh yeah, fuck it.
They can get you on board with motherfucking anything, dude. And then you get like, they take you all the way to, let's say, Florida.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then they just crash, dude. Then you're like,
Suddenly you find yourself in a garage with a knife in your hand, and you're like, how the fuck did I get here? The person becomes extremely excited and energetic and often has grandiose ideas accompanied by a feeling of being practically invincible. During these manic episodes, the person may make decisions that might make them seem crazy. maybe like deciding to become a rapper, even though they have no talent or experience. So in the summer of 2016, Austin took on the stage name Austy Frosty and decided to become a rapper, even though he had no talent or experience.
But he had a great name. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you just start with a little something and then you hope just the rest will.
Anytime you're like, if you're writing a book, always just start with the title and fucking go for it.
The rest will write itself, right?
Fall into place.
Yeah.
So we actually have some of Austy Frosty's music. He has, for anybody that wants to hear it, he has a very, very loaded SoundCloud account with lots and lots of music.
And you, but you picked your favorite.
I picked my favorite.
Okay, good to know.
I listened to a few last night, and then I listened to a few more on the way over, and this one that we're linking is definitely my favorite out of them.
Austy Frosty, Own
Austy
Money?
Frosty. I will say, though, follow through. There's follow through here. Go ahead.
True. Frostbite Beats.
That's right. I was never meant to be like. That's right. Never learned how to fight and fight. You didn't?
Apparently
Austy.
Not.
Austy Frosty.
I could believe that.
That's right. Did he not?
What year is this?
This was
8 years ago.
Yeah.
Seems like he's just trying to rip off Froggy Fresh.
You turned it off.
Yeah, because he's trying to rip off Froggy Fresh, and you don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Froggy Fresh is my boy, dude.
Stolen Valor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Funny thing is, I almost put a little blurb about Froggy Fresh in the notes because it reminded me of a shitty version of Froggy Fresh.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Austy Frosty.
Great.
It's really good.
I wasn't hating it.
It's amazing. It's the next Eminem.
Like, you know.
And in case anybody's curious,
something, right?
I think the name of the album is Make Trap Great Again, released in 2016.
No,
I don't love that. I do love Frost. What is it? Frostbite?
Austy Frosty.
Austy Frosty.
And what's the Frostbite Beats? Or
Frostbite Beats.
I like all of that.
That's good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stop there. Like many other affluent, aspiring white rappers before him, Austin decided to become an insufferable social justice warrior. All right, now I don't like it. His happy-go-lucky demeanor began to fade as he took on his new role as a blip. Yeah.
Grind juice.
His happy-go-lucky demeanor began to fade as he took on his new role as a civil rights pioneer.
Okay. God bless him for it. 2016 right. was when we needed it the most.
Oh.
You remember all
that's
those,
pretty normal,
remember
right?
All those good times?
That's pretty normal, especially for his age, too. As a civil rights pioneer, he dutifully preached the gospel of Black Lives Matter at length to anyone he could corner. One place Austin could always count on finding a captive audience was in the waiting room of his father's dental practice. Ooh,
another dentist.
Ooh. Yeah. Although his parents were paying his tuition, they weren't willing to pay for his drugs, so Austin worked part-time in his dad's clinic. While there, over the summer, he would make long-winded, condescending speeches to the poor patients in the waiting room. By the time he finished, getting a root canal seemed like a relief. No kidding.
Right?
They'd be like, is that your son out there? Oh, he's not. Yeah, he's nice. Austin's manic episodes continued to grow worse over the course of the summer of 2016, as did all of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Anyone that had an underlying something going on, it really got brought to the surface,
right?
Huh?
Right up to the fucking surface.
Yeah. His friends and family began to notice that it seemed less like a rebellious phase and more like a gradual decline into madness. This point was driven home when Austin began seeing demons.
That's normal.
So,
wait, what?
Totally normal. Yeah, he's just seeing demons like normal people on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Look at this. He has a logo.
Instead of, okay, it's a Frosty, Wendy's. Frosty, it looks like a Wendy's Frosty cup. It says Money's instead of Wendy's. It's a picture of, well, it looks like him, but it's a devil, short-haired Wendy's demon. Wendy demon. And underneath it says Osti Frosty, and I like it.
I like it.
The name Osti Frosty sounds a lot like a knockoff of Foster's Freeze, just based out of Austin.
Mm.
Like, instead of, you know, it's Osti Frosty. You go there for a nice smash burger.
There's no way he... copyright, got that copyrighted, roted, copyrighted?
Copyrighted.
I think it's copyrighted, yeah.
Copyrighted, yeah. Ridded.
Copyrighted, sure. There's no way, right?
No,
I someone's got to pick. I mean, that's a great name.
Somebody's definitely going to have it now.
Somebody's having it now.
Just wait. Within the next year or so, here in Austin, tons of Osti Frosties popping up all over the place. Go get yourself a snow cone.
I fucking love that name,
Chili
dude.
Dog, like a knockoff Blizzard. It's a good place.
His next album is called...
The thing. What is it?
His next album is called Devil in Disguise.
Okay, so he's leaning in.
Pretty fitting.
Demons, huh?
As a child, Austin had gone through a few episodes of sleep paralysis. And have either one of you guys ever had sleep paralysis before?
I think no. I did once.
Really?
Yeah.
I had what I thought was sleep paralysis one time, super, super hungover when I was younger, but I think it was just alcohol poisoning. Outside of that, I've met a handful of people with sleep paralysis. I'm not sure how much I buy into it.
It sounds terrifying.
I died in a dream once, and I woke up. I couldn't move in the dream, and I was like, oh, my bones are broken. And then I woke up, and I was fully awake, and I couldn't move for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying when people talk about it. So
yeah, well, when you go to sleep, your body releases a chemical that actually paralyzes you. It makes it so you can't move. Well, no, it releases that too.
That's for different before reasons. You go to sleep.
Yeah.
And sometimes during.
And sometimes after. During.
So it's like it's a normal occurrence to if you wake up at the wrong point during, I think it's REM sleep or something
like that. Well, you still have that.
Yeah, you're still paralyzed, so you can't move.
I feel like, yeah, so my son, Jagger, the real cool weirdo one, me up. Like, if he comes into my room, he walks up to the side of my bed and just puts his face, like, right into my face until I wake up. Doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything.
Still, just stares at you.
And so it's just like you're.
Wide eyes.
Right. I'm not supposed to. I'm just like. And then when you open your eyes, the terror of that. And then it scares him, and then he's like, whoa! And I'm like, well, bud.
See, that's more like my sleep paralysis demons, because the only weird experiences I've had waking up, oddly enough, in my life,
yeah,
is waking up with either when my nephew was really young.
Right. I guess that's how they all do
it. There was one point where I woke up, and he was just standing stock still in my room staring at me. And then my niece did the same thing years and years later.
I think it's because of the amount of times that he's woken me up, and I'm like, "Ah, dude!" So he doesn't want to like
wake
piss.
Up swinging,
right? I just like pull the gun from under. You know what I mean? But no, he's like, I think he's just worried to make me mad. So then he just sits there and
sits and waits.
Too close, bro. I tell him it's too close.
It is so much creepier than waking up with some guy standing in your room with a knife.
I'd rather sometimes when he's doing that, I go, I wish you were just a burglar.
Yeah.
Like someone here to kill me. I mean, this is fucking terrifying.
Well, because the only other option is like a Damien Omen situation.
Right.
Nobody wants one of those.
Right.
So in many of these sleep paralysis cases, people report seeing shadow figures or monsters, so him claiming to have seen demons didn't really raise any concerns. But while he was in college, he started seeing them again, and sometimes even when he was awake. Okay. Tiny bit of a red flag. Near the beginning of August, Austin revealed a big red flag while spending the weekend with his girlfriend in Tampa. And his girlfriend, I think her name was Kate? Kate or Katie, she was the one in that picture that we just looked at.
Okay.
The one that looked better than him.
Yeah, the one where you could see. I'm like, show me a picture.
Show me the goods.
Yeah. Well, you did. You guys found the only picture that your computer will let you find.
Hey, look, it was shirtless. I found two.
It's not our fault. It's
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you did.
It's Apple.
Burgle cut. We can't really get into it only because it's not a burglary
case.
You
said burglar earlier.
I did, though.
Yeah.
For that reason.
As Austin and his girlfriend slept, he suddenly woke up and began freaking out. When his girlfriend asked him what was wrong, he claimed that he had seen demons walking around the room. Knowing his history of sleep paralysis, she brushed it off as nothing more than a scary dream. But to Austin, it was very real. And it remained very real for a very long time after that.
What the
fuck? Oh, like he almost...
Almost like he believed it.
Didn't really wake up from it. Austin's gradual decline into madness continued over the days following this weekend getaway with his girlfriend. He became convinced that the demons were real and that his behavior grew... And then his behavior grew more and more erratic.
So he's seen him all the time?
So it's like almost we can think of that as a splice, right? Where it's like he had this crazy experience and just never...
Never got out of it.
Like it was so real that it confirmed probably all of his...
Like perma-acid trip?
Yeah, but that's so, how it...
That's the reason that I brought up the stuff about psychedelics earlier is because in general, psychedelics are some of the safest drugs that you could possibly do.
Unless. Yes.
The biggest risk with them, in my opinion, is if you have an underlying disorder that's never been diagnosed and you have no idea how to handle it, certain things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder can be exacerbated by psychedelics. So you might have a psychotic break if you don't know how to handle it. And the reason that I say if you don't know how to handle it is because even going into any sort of psychedelics, if you don't have control over, if you're not used to feeling uncomfortable and like out of your own head, there's a good chance that you're going to have a freak out situation.
Right.
But if you're schizophrenic or bipolar or something like that, and you have your first major break while you're on psychedelics, that shit's just real to you.
Yeah.
So it's a scary fucking thing for...
It confirms basically the things that you were kind of thinking. Where it's like, oh, I sort of see it, but everyone's telling me no. And then you have some crazy trip or something where you go like, it is. They're all wrong. I'm fucking right. And then it just never comes back.
Yeah. After that, it might as well be the real people that are the, you know, hallucinations.
Right.
In some cases.
Yes. Not to be confused with freak-offs. Which I guess is a fucking thing that everyone knows.
Freak-offs.
Freak-off parties that...
Is that a new thing?
Well, it's the Diddy thing. P.
Child
Diddy.
Child trafficking? Is that what they call it?
No, he would have freak-off parties. But when you hear like a CNN reporter, Fox News, NBC, the way that they're saying his freak-off parties as if it's a thing that we all know, I'm feeling... You haven't heard this?
I don't know. No. I haven't heard the freak-off party thing.
Bro.
I don't have the news.
Have the news? What does that even fucking mean? All right.
Well, there's only
knows what I'm talking about, but he's not allowed to talk. Okay.
Well, yeah, because there's only a certain amount of outside information that's allowed into the studio. Otherwise, it causes problems.
Did your dad take the news off too? Gay shit and the news. Because you were fucking just going crazy, dude. I get it.
Look, it's like Leon from The Professional. There's only two rules. No news, no gays.
Yeah.
And I'm all on
values.
Gay,
so. Family values. Yeah. All right. I get it. It's just, I don't have the news.
That was weird to say.
It was weird to say, but it's actually exactly accurate. Like, you don't have the news.
I don't have the news in my life. There, that's better, right? Or worse?
Nope. It makes all the sense in the world.
What's a freak out party?
Freak off.
Freak off.
Freak off party.
Again. I guess I'm supposed to know because people are saying it all over like it's a freak off parties were the fucking crazy sex parties that Diddy had. Guys, girls, whatever, lube. It was.
But is that like one of those, you remember how there was a big media scare at one point, like probably 10, 15 years ago about the rainbow parties?
No, it's more like they're going down all the list of everything that they have on Diddy and they're saying freak off. These would happen at freak off parties as if, like, again, the way that they're saying it is that normal people would know what a freak off party is.
So the difference between a rainbow party and a freak off party would be the freak off party is real, but nobody knows about it. And then the rainbow party is fake, but everybody thinks it's real.
Real.
So he called them freak offs, or that's what they were called. And apparently he's having, you're partying. You have a bunch of people over. And then he hires a bunch of sex workers,
yeah,
male
to come
and female, in to fuck each other.
To hang out with your friends, and they, you know, are paid to do whatevs.
Yeah.
In whatevs.
We should have a freak off here. It's fun.
We have the red
is
light.
Is that really like a fun thing that people do, like getting horny around your friends?
Listen.
Because like that's never been a big driving factor for
no
me.
And
it's
at
like,
this
oh,
point
yeah,
you know
get
when
together
this
with all my closest friends and just get horny
when this episode comes out it's gonna be pretty old news, but when they were talking about the freak off parties and what would happen, it just sounded fucking exhausting,
right?
Like it's just it's already the end of the night, so it would start at like 2-3, you know what I mean? You go, oh god, do you know what I mean? I'm ready for bed. But yeah,
2 or 3.
Because it has to be after. So Diddy would have the white parties that everyone knows, that are the pictures and everything of all the famous people at P. Diddy's white parties. And then after the white party,
the black
would be
party.
The freak off
oh.
red party.
Oh.
Red lights everywhere and all the videos. Yeah. Yeah. So again,
I'm all in
news.
Once.
You guys don't have the news.
Yeah, once.
So it's such a big story. I can't start from the beginning. Do you know what I mean?
Coop's like, it's not a big deal. That sounds like Electric Church to me.
No, I know.
Well, yeah,
just
but
that,
at least at Electric Church, there's drugs involved. So
just
you're not
that is not
that
a big
already.
Deal, but there's more, you know, but like they throw the freak off parties in there. Like an Al Roker has to say freak off party. You know what I'm saying? Like where it's just like, and he's saying it so, you know, in a news way, which you don't know what that is, but like, you know what I mean? It's just crazy to me. It's a time in our lives where every news anchor and every outlet is saying freak off party like it's fucking nothing. Okay.
God,
and
yeah,
not explaining it. Just throwing it out there like you guys do your research. You know what I mean? I can't tell
we
you.
We had
this
to look
is.
This up online. Now you have to
now
go look
have
it up.
To.
You do the work. Austin's gradual decline.
Gradual decline into madness over the days following his weekend getaway with his girlfriend. He became convinced the demons were real. Yes, and his behavior grew more and more erratic. He began obsessively studying religion and philosophy. Never a good thing.
Shit.
Searching for some way to protect himself from the evil that was stalking him. By mid-August, Austin was well on his way to madness. His fixation with religion and civil rights drove him to believe he was destined to become the next Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr., or maybe even combine the two and become the next Jim Jones, right? Yeah. Natural progression.
Just like Jared Leto.
Whatever his future held for him, he believed it would be profound. He was meant to change people's lives, and at this point, Austin was in the midst of a full-blown mental breakdown. But when you are affluent, when you're white, when you're rich, when you're, you know what I mean? Like these things can kind of, again, be kept like the fam, you know what I mean? Like you can kind of keep it under control as far as the family is concerned and keeping it at home and maybe just ignoring it in like a really healthy way.
Yeah, it's almost like it's customary in those social circles where it's like, oh yeah,
oh it's just his thing now. He's getting into religion and he's like super into Black Lives Matter, as you should be, right? The family,
but his rap career is looking real promising.
Yes, but he's going to school still, so it's fine. You know, it's you can understand like how it works. You can also keep things pretty in the house if you need to come in here, but
and a phone call that we're going to listen to later is really really going to drive that point home. Mm-hmm.
He's telling them he's seeing shit, right? He's like, I'm seeing demons and shit, and
is
they're
he
like
telling
okay.
his parents, we're not sure.
That would
we don't
suck
know if he's
be seeing demons
confiding
in
them. They may be in his mind part of the problem. I'm not sure, but I would think if he did tell them, we don't know. But I don't think he can articulate exactly what's happening.
To a certain degree, they were aware of it because he was honestly fairly open about all this shit and everybody was fairly forgiving. I don't think that his parents had enough experience to understand the extent
and
of
think
how serious
about,
it was.
Of right, but then think about 2016, too. Let's just say like the social justice of it, that was... normal.
Yeah.
And then you add this, the demons thing, you kind of go, oh, no, okay. And especially in those communities and upper class, you're not wanting to like jump to my kid has a fucking serious problem. You want to be like, let's just see what it's, we can do on our own. Have him work at the dental office more, huh?
Yeah.
He just needs to be active. Get him back out there. Yeah.
For them, it was probably like, okay, he's already saying that black people are actually people, so it's not a big stretch for him to see demons.
Coop, dude.
Not there, my words. I'm saying I'm looking at it from their perspective.
Yeah, you're trying to get into the mind somehow.
It's hard. It takes yeah. me a lot of work to get
I
there.
Know. And thank you for doing that.
It's a burden. Austin's behavior was kept private. He was very outspoken, although he was very outspoken in his beliefs, including all the batshit crazy ones. These very obvious red flags should have been noticed by his family. Instead, they brushed it all off as just being another phase.
Damn.
I mean, I've been through some phases before, but that's pretty extreme. Due to their unwillingness to see the mental crisis their son was going through, they overlooked many obvious signs that something very, very wrong was happening. Among the many strange behaviors his family ignored, which actually we'll go through a checklist of the things that his family witnessed, his family and friends witnessed, and was just kind of like, he'll get over it eventually.
Yeah, he's got to.
So he's nine.
We've got to be at the country club still. He's got to get over it.
We don't have time for this.
Yes.
So he refused to sleep in a dark room because that's when the demons came out, is when it was dark. He also refused to sleep without the family dog. I can understand like sleeping with a dog, but not because you need to.
Yeah, because you kind of want to. And if they don't, you know.
Yeah, if they don't want to sleep with you, it's not like they can say no.
But he was he refused to
sleep. It was like, I will not sleep.
No, he had to have the family dog with him.
Had to.
Yeah, because the dog scared away the demons.
Okay.
He temporarily believed that he was a centaur because he was a Sagittarius, but he eventually wised up and realized that he wasn't half man, half horse. He was actually half man, half dog. That was the conclusion that he came to. He also thought that he could protect people from evil spirits just by collecting their business cards. As long as he held on to them, they'd be protected from all the demons that were trying to attack him.
Dude.
But then he later realized that it was actually putting them in danger, so he had to destroy their business cards to keep them safe.
Bud, this is...
That's not even the craziest thing.
No,
craziest thing of all, he threw away all of his drugs and promised to stay pure.
He's sober now.
Oh, shit.
And he's still seeing demons and shit?
Get back on the fucking stuff.
At that point, he was approaching JoJo Siwa levels of insanity, and his family ignored his mental breakdown just like JoJo Siwa's mother did.
Yeah, does. Currently.
Still does.
Still does.
So in the week before the attack that would leave two people dead, Austin sent a series of strange text messages to his girlfriend. The contents of the messages make it abundantly clear that he was going through another one of his manic phases. And these are some actual messages that he sent to his girlfriend that just kind of went under the radar and really should have been noticed in the first fucking place. I've never felt better. I am honestly the happiest I've ever been, and it feels great. I believe in myself, and I don't care about anything possibly bad that could happen to me. I think I'm legit crazy. It's like I can hardly sleep. Another sign of being manic is you just be awake for days on end, excited about all these plans.
I think he's off everything at this point.
That was his claim, is that he threw away all of his drugs on, I think it was like August 14th or something, threw all of them away. So another text to his girlfriend, Kate. I know it's hard to understand, and it's even harder for me to realize what I'm doing, but I am literally making the impossible happen. I don't think I'm going crazy. I'm just evolving, becoming more intelligent, thinking that I'm a worthy and just have to help others with the pain they have. That's all I want. Bitch.
Did he actually say?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Capped it all off with just bitch with a period after it. Obviously wasn't responding to the text messages. So, I mean, really, dude, she brought that
I'll
on
be
herself.
Her. I'll be her responding. What? Babe, what?
Can you imagine getting getting that?
All those were to this girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were all different. They were all at different times, right? So then,
yeah, that wasn't.
It wasn't one text. It was like the first one is, I'm fucking great. I'm like doing better than I ever have. I'm amazing. Everything's gonna go great. And then the next day or whatever is like, I'm crazy. I can't sleep. What the fuck? Then it's, you know. And she's like, I can't have these wild
up and downs.
I can't have a crazy boyfriend. I'm going to just have to let this girl. Do you know what I mean? who are all the people that he tried to tell that were just like, I cannot deal with this right
and
now.
And also in that social circle, I can't imagine what the response is going to be.
Yeah, because it's so. Like, oh,
but he's the son of this successful dentist. They've got all this money. He's studying biology and he's going to be a rapper. You need to marry this boy.
Right.
Austin Frosty.
Austin Frosty, for God's sake. Austin's dream of changing people's lives became a real life nightmare on August 15th, 2016. On that morning, he woke up and put on his favorite jersey, an Atlanta Falcons jersey with the number 7 on it. Mm. Michael Vick's jersey, if you know anything about him.
Because he was half dog.
Yeah.
So Michael Vick has a connection with dogs, seeing as he drowned a bunch of them in a bucket.
Yeah, he's not super cool to him. But no,
he's a leader of dogs.
Oh, true, true. So he's the alpha dog with his own dogs, Michael Vick. Yeah. He then went for a run on the beach before stopping by his dad's house to begin having a massive mental breakdown. When Austin arrived at his father's house, his dad noticed that he wasn't acting right.
For the first time.
Hey, bud, you seem a little bit off. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Austin had left his car there the night before and wanted his keys back, but his dad refused to hand the keys over unless Austin took a Xanax and calmed down a bit. That would be a good idea.
Would be a good thing. One thing I'd like to point out, Austin wasn't prescribed Xanax at the time. That would have been either his dad's Xanax or his dad's girlfriend's Xanax.
But that's such a like.
Oh, it's gonna
rich call you the fuck dad's out. Fucking response, buddy.
Just take
a fucking downer, dude.
Take a Xanax, have a Moscow Mule. Right, let's go to the golf course. Champagne.
You'll be fine.
Those text messages. I still have anxiety from those.
Seriously,
right?
I was definitely triggered a little bit. Yeah. Austin replied by screaming and jumping up and down on his father's car, denting the hood and roof. Rough. The roof. Look, I'm seeing demons, guys. I can't. The words just don't.
So he's freaking out. He just starts jumping on the
roof
of the car. The roof.
He goes to his dad's house. So he doesn't even live with his dad. He's.
Sorry.
The roof. Rough.
Roof.
He's
on the
roof.
Yeah, on the roof.
As you do. He's not living with his parents at the time. He's not living at the frat house at the time. Mm. I have a feeling that his frat brothers didn't really want him to live there. So he was living outside
of
his parents' house.
I would guess so. Yeah. This is obviously hell on earth for him. God.
So, yeah, he left his car at his dad's house because him and his dad and I think his friend Sam, he's got a really close friend named Sam through all of this stuff. Obviously wasn't close enough, or at least not vocal enough. But Sam had become like a close family friend. He had seen him the night before, had a semi-similar breakdown or like a heated moment, left his car at his dad's house, went back to where he was staying and then came back the next day to get his car. So he had already been acting strange. Like that was when the point that he left the car there was when he decided to just get rid of all of his drugs and never do drugs again. His dad and him even exchanged text messages where his dad was saying like, you threw away all the drugs, right? And fucking get this. His dad sends him a text message saying, you threw away all the drugs, right? Fucking Austin's response, it wasn't yes, it was just learn.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Psycho.
Okay, psycho.
Full blown. That's...
Yeah, so this guy is begging for help, from what I can tell. Denting the hood and the roof. In a move that spoke volumes about how Austin was raised, his father finally gave up and handed the keys to Austin.
Oh, my God.
He wouldn't take the Xanax. He started jumping up and down, screaming, denting his dad's car. And he's like, ugh, I have got somewhere to be. Here, take the keys. My God, are you kidding?
Get the fuck out of here.
Because you can't, he can't call the cops or something because people are going to see that the cops are at his house. They're going to ask him a question. You know what I mean? Like, their own everything is caught up in this as well. Yeah?
So from his father's house, Austin drove to the home of one of his fraternity brothers to cool off. After a few hours, Austin's father had apparently forgotten that his son had thrown a fucking temper tantrum and jumped up and down on his car multiple times to the point that he damaged the car, and gave Austin his keys back, and then invited Austin to go out to dinner with him and his girlfriend.
And his close friend Sam at a local restaurant.
Yeah, invited okay. Sam also. The family hadn't even gotten their food before Austin had yet another outburst. After a heated argument with his father, Austin got up and stormed out of the restaurant. His mother lived nearby, so he decided to walk over to her place and pay her a visit. This is where it continually gets weirder and weirder from here. The temperature was well into the 80s on that day, so by the time Austin reached his mother's house, he was feeling a little thirsty. So he went inside, chugged a bottle of cooking oil.
This is fucking
what the fuck?
Nightmare.
And walked nightmare. Back to the restaurant where his dad was having dinner.
How do they know he did? How do they? How do
so
we,
he leaves the restaurant.
His mom was there at the house.
And he drank a bottle of cooking oil?
He chugged a bunch of cooking oil and then just walked out the door.
It's like that. Is it Saturday Night Live? The Pepsi clear, they did like a Pepsi clear commercial, but it's gravy. And so it's like clear gravy, and they're like, just drink. Oh.
I think this is the creepiest one so far we've done.
It's pretty bad.
I'm creeped out as
I knew about this story a little bit, but yeah, it was a while ago.
Probably speaks volumes about my sister. I didn't even have to look any of this up. She was just like,
telling you all of that.
Verbatim telling it's me the story crazy. From start to finish.
I think she's didn't even trying look to tell at you notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she better not tell me too much or she might start looking like a demon.
You might start jumping on the roof.
So Austin returned to the restaurant where he went to fight with his dad some more.
All covered in oil and shit. Fuck, dude.
And after just chugging cooking oil, not the worst
thing. Give you the shits, though.
Not, the shits, well, and he, you would fucking in that. He die, but
the
go
thing
ahead.
Is, you got to follow it up with something that'll break down the oils, and he does that later.
Oh, great.
Austin wasn't in the restaurant long before he and his father got heated once again. This time, the fight with his dad turned physical before Austin once again stormed out into the night. And from there, he ran out into the darkness to, and I quote, direct quote from Austin, follow the stars.
Mm-hmm. And his family's like, well,
he'll find fine. Some.
He'll find some stars out there and he should be happy. And then he'll come back home and be the son that we need him to be.
Holy shit.
Everybody knows of a place called Kokomo.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to go to get away from it all.
Mm-hmm.
We'll yeah, get there right. fast and then we'll take it slow, right?
That's
what John Stevens and Michael Michon.
Michelle Michon.
Michelle Michon. We're trying to do when they settled in to drink a few evening beers in the garage of their home on Kokomo Lane. Nice coop. John and Michelle had been married for 19 years and were just beginning to enjoy their retirement when Austin Haruff, Harif.
Harif. That's the way he said it, but he was insane, so he might be wrong.
I was trying to think of a way to remember it. I'm like, Harif the dog, right?
It's also like
Harif the dog.
Yeah.
It's like Harris with a speech impediment.
Sure. I'm Harif. Austin Harif paid them a visit. As Austin was running down the darkened street, he encountered a tall, shadowy figure with an evil white face standing in the road. Terrified, Austin looked around for somewhere to hide from the demon. He noticed a nearby garage door had been left open and there was light coming from inside. With no other options in sight, Austin rushed inside to find shelter.
Jesus Christ.
Honestly, it's just fucking, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
And it gets worse.
It's a nightmare that's going to get worse. Once inside, Austin quickly realized he still wasn't safe. Upon entering the garage, he was confronted by a shrieking witch. A gal. Just a gal. Austin knew it was time for him to stop running from his destiny and confront the evil he was born to fight. He drew a knife from his pocket and attacked the witch.
Oh, fuck.
So one of the other things that happened the day before... all of these events was Austin, Sam, and his Austin's father, Wade. They went to a gun show in Florida, and while he was at the gun show, he bought a knife for personal protection. And then he used it within a matter of hours because that was a knife that he used to kill the witch.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, it wasn't a witch. Obviously, there was no demon and there was no witch. The screaming woman Austin attacked was 53-year-old Michelle Michonne. Hearing his wife's terrified cries for help, John Stevens rushed into the garage to find Austin standing over his wife, stabbing her repeatedly.
Jesus.
John attempted to intervene, but Austin was able to easily overpower him. And then he began brutally stabbing John. And again, it's a good thing that we were able to find at least one partially muscular picture of Austin. He was a strong kid. Like he was.
Yeah, and especially when you're like built. The throes of a manic episode.
You got that. Fucking,
how old is he? Yeah, is he in his 20s?
19.
This is them, right?
Yeah, that's Stephen and Michelle.
Aww.
They don't deserve this.
They were just fucking chilling out.
These are my type of fucking people. Like they had literally just retired. They got their nice house on Kokomo Lane, and what they were doing for the evening is they had a couch set up out in their garage with the TV. They were going to go out in the garage, leave the garage door open so, you know, you can deal with the heat and humidity, just sit and drink a few beers and watch TV for the night. That's the way that I want to spend my retirement.
Let's fucking go, dude.
It sounds like a beautiful evening, and this fucking asshole comes running into the garage. College kids. Can't trust any of them.
Well, you can't let demons have a good time. They're demons.
All right, counterpoint. We'll have to debate that one after the show. So after Austin attacked, he attacked Michelle first, and then John tried to intervene, mm-hmm. and then he started attacking John. The knife apparently wasn't enough for him. They just happened to have a machete in the garage. So he picked up the machete, and that's what he started using next. I didn't say Siri, I said machete.
Oh, is that how your Siri sounds?
Yeah, she sounded way too into that.
Kind of bitchy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm used to.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh, demons, sure.
Uh-huh. Again. What again? Else you
just,
got?
Just take out the trash.
Yeah, does it talk to you like that? My God. Your dad did that too, I think.
That's what I'm used to.
Make Siri a bitch.
The hard part is
stuff and the news off your computer.
I just wish there was some sort of plug-in that I could put into the phone that would hit me. At the same time, then I'd feel real comfortable.
He'll figure it out.
So John and Michelle's neighbor, Jeff, heard the commotion and came outside to see what was happening. Once he realized that his neighbors were in trouble, Jeff rushed across the street and attempted to pull Austin off of John. In response, Austin turned and began attacking Jeff, stabbing him multiple times, primarily in the head, neck, and back.
Jesus.
Jeff got fucked up and he didn't even realize it.
He's the one that called.
Yeah, he was the one that called.
At the point that he made the 911 call, he had already been stabbed multiple times, and like he was on the verge of dying from blood loss. He was in critical condition by the time the police showed up. Jeff was able to escape and flee back to his home, which is where he called 911.
Upon arriving on the scene, police found Austin still in the garage, hunched over John's body. Austin had his arms wrapped around the dying man's torso.
John's still alive.
And was viciously biting chunks of flesh from his face.
Oh, fuck.
And then, Joel!
There it is.
Joel! There he fucking goes!
Oh, God.
Who? God.
He was eating him?
Yep.
Fuck.
But actually getting chunks off.
He still had chunks of meat in his mouth when he was arrested.
The officers immediately tried to pull Austin away, but he was able to repeatedly fight them off and continue his assault on John. Due to them being so close together, the responding officers couldn't shoot Austin without the risk of killing John in the process. Instead, they deployed a taser, which Austin ignored like it was his father asking him to clean his room.
God damn.
So, like, totally sober. I think it's just the, like, the manic, the manic energy is what it is, right? What is the possibility?
Possession. Possessed by it.
Yeah.
And, well, I think...
And especially if you believe it.
Manic depressive episodes, I think, are responsible for a lot of situations where people thought that other people were possessed by demons.
Or maybe that's what that is.
Yeah, it could be. Apparently, demons are very responsive to medication.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah, it's a definite demon squasher. They decided to hit him with the taser. Didn't work. Next, a canine was released. Despite the large German Shepherd biting Austin numerous times, he refused to stop chewing on John's face.
Oh, my God.
In the end... It took 3 police officers to restrain Austin and get him in handcuffs.
And Jesus. from the reports, bless you, that'll keep demons away from you. Also, give me your business card before I leave.
Yeah, you're going to keep it.
From the police officers' reports, like, he was just not responding to anything. They would kick him in the head, they'd hit him, they tased him. The dog was literally chewing on him. After the fact, they find out that he had the majority of his tongue missing because he had bitten through it. And he was just completely locked in. Bit his own tongue off. Almost bit his own tongue off.
Oh, God, dude.
And he did something else during the period that we'll find out in a minute, that this guy, he shouldn't have even been alive when he was doing this. But even while he was doing it, he was so fucking strong and so brutal that they had to wait until backup arrived to even be able to pry him off of John. So when the police officers first arrived, John was still breathing and making noises. So he died during the process of them trying to get Austin off of him.
Jesus.
At that point, he was most likely mortally wounded. So he most likely wouldn't have made it anyway. But Austin was just locked in and just biting chunks off of his face and chest.
This is...
It's insane. Fucked. It is fucking insane.
But like... Okay, we'll get into it. Sorry. So once... Go ahead.
No, that's you.
Once he was finally taken into custody, Austin looked like a real-life zombie. His face and clothes were covered in blood. His tongue had been partially bitten off, and his voice was hoarse from severe chemical burns in his throat. At some point during the attack, he had grabbed a bottle of cleaning solution and drank it. The resulting tissue damaged nearly... The resulting tissue damage nearly killed him and resulted in a month-long stay at the hospital.
In the midst of the attack... Just found a random bottle sitting in the garage.
He had been already. But this is...
The culmination of all his life's work.
Cries for help, too.
Yeah.
This is fucked. This is insane.
Yeah. The suddenness and brutality of the attack had everyone in shock, obviously. Austin had gone from having no criminal record at all to suddenly being a cannibalistic murderer over the course of a couple hours.
I just found a photo of him, and he was arrested. Yeah, he like chewed his own teeth off too, right?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You want to see it? I'm gonna. Wait,
if you got the photo, throw it up.
Are you real? For real? Have the photo?
Yeah. It's zoomed in for some reason. There we go.
Oh. Oh. You guys.
Jesus Christ.
You guys.
Ate his own tongue and broke his teeth chewing?
I mean, this is scarier than any fucking alligator, animal. I mean, this is like, this is the stuff.
This is
terrifying.
That
keeps me up at fucking night, is some person's brain literally breaking.
It is so much scarier than any sort of animal attack, because most animals, unless it's a raptor from Jurassic Park, they're not going to be able to open doors. And a lot of them you can just scare off if you act aggressive enough.
Yeah, there's
situations like this.
Yeah.
There's
nothing you can do. Everything you do is going to make them feel like go further into the psychosis.
Yeah.
You cannot take them out of it.
It's honestly a nightmare.
Sure. Joel, you good?
I'm not good at all. This is the worst I've felt doing this show by far.
Cheers.
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 We need a drink.
We know we did our job, and it's a good one, huh?
To that. We're back on track.
Mm-hmm. He's been feeling good for the other ones.
Can't let that happen.
It's just so creepy. It's actually so scary.
Fucking out of nowhere.
I couldn't stop that, dude.
So considering he had gone from somebody with no criminal record to being a murderer and a cannibal within the course of a few hours, this obviously left many people wanting answers, but not even Austin could explain why he did it. According to him, he blacked out after seeing the white-faced figure standing in the street. And then he's got bits and pieces after that he can recall, but
of course.
Like he'd had the full break once he saw the, almost sounds like a character out of, what was it, Princess Mononoke?
Mm. Nope.
Sorry, nerd shit. Not
no.
going there. I'll drop it.
No. We are in the throes.
Considering that he was caught in the act, this was obviously an open and shut case. Austin was charged with 2 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. The brutality of the crime meant that this case was fast-tracked to the court, and Austin was found guilty on all counts. He is currently serving life without parole in a maximum security prison in Florida. Or at least that's what would have happened if Austin didn't have very, very rich and very, very forgiving parents.
What?
That didn't happen.
Get ready for the ride. Austin's parents, Wade and Mina, weren't about to let their sweet baby boy go to prison. Even if he did kill 2 people and eat a guy's face. Austin's mommy and daddy lawyered up immediately and began throwing money at the problem before the victims' bodies were even cold. Recordings of phone calls between Austin and his father while he was in jail show exactly how remorseful he felt for the heinous crimes that his son had committed. Oh. This is the call from jail.
Please wait while your call is being connected. This is a call from
Austin Carroll,
an inmate at the Martin County Jail.
Hello. Hey, Austin.
Hey, so that's Wade.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
I'm real proud of you. How you didn't answer any questions.
Yeah. Well,
good.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Can you put money in my commissary account?
Huh?
Can you put money in my commissary account?
Yeah, I want some fucking...
I need some more ramen.
Yeah,
did
Bob do 200?
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, how's life? It's tough one, I thought. We're not used to this.
We're not used to
that. Really? Yeah,
exactly.
Really?
Jesus.
Is everyone scared?
Yeah. But that is pretty confident that we can pull something off here.
Yeah. Pull something off?
How's Jupiter?
Are you taking your medicine?
Yeah, I'm taking my medicine.
what it comes down to is I got you two lawyers, and we're going to do the best we can.
What?
Huh? We're going to do the best we can. It's looking better.
So that call goes on for a little while.
Okay, and it's basically that.
And the entire thing really comes across as, not even comes across, it like verbally, it's clear that his dad's like, don't worry, son, we're going to get you out of this. Just like all the
not
fucking
like,
problems
hey,
that you've been
man,
in before.
Like,
it's not like, hey, holy shit, you little
bastard.
What do you
think about what you did, dude? Like,
he needs.
What?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's. So I can understand to a certain degree that the people that you really care about, you're going to back them up no matter what. Like, when it comes to my sister, she could be caught chewing the toes off of newborns in a maternity ward, and sure, I'd still back her up in the end.
Yeah,
behind the scenes,
children,
I'd be like,
though,
dude, what
I wouldn't.
What the
you
fuck
hate
are you
children?
Doing?
What if it was a dog, though?
Dog.
You know, yeah, what I mean? Flip
that's
it.
That's less likely to happen,
mm-hmm,
I mean, considering our background.
If my sister was eating people in front of me, I'd kill her. I'd put her down.
You'd have to, dude.
To help her. That's actually helping her.
But
no,
letting her live in a prison,
it's tough.
Insane person, that'd be way worse.
It's tough because with medication, he sounds like a fucking broken man.
He's
like, you don't want to feel bad for him. You don't. But you also know all of the cries for help he was doing before. All of the times that this same dude that's talking to his son could have fixed it.
Could have done something.
Exactly, given him the exact medication that he's getting in jail, right?
And this is something that I've been thinking about recently. If you are the parent or legal guardian of a child that commits a heinous crime like this, you're going to trial too.
Yeah, and they're starting to do that.
And
we don't know how far it's going to go, but you know, this you couldn't do, but court of public opinion, everyone's like, hey man, we all saw him going crazy. You didn't do anything, and then this is the result of your actions towards your child. But anyway.
Yeah, in those situations, I think that it's negligence. If you see your child acting that erratically and that dangerously.
If they didn't see him.
Though.
Yeah, but if he's an adult doing this on his own, fine. But he went to his parents' house. He went to his parents multiple times.
He was in that, in my mind, he was in that gray zone in between being a child and being an adult. He was
still
in college.
Well, they're still paying for everything. They're going to have to, you know.
Yeah,
if he's completely on his own, fine. But they're still totally taking care of him.
Yeah. They're like the driver of a bank robbery.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which is guilty by association.
Yes. Yeah. With the magical power of money, the Haroff family was able to drag the case out for nearly 6 years. Despite being caught in the act, Austin's defense team was able to keep kicking the can down the road while they worked to secure an insanity plea. Eventually, they were able to find a psychologist that was willing to testify that Austin wasn't responsible for the murders due to being pants-shittingly crazy. The crazy part of all was that it worked. In November of 2022, Austin Haroff was found not guilty by reason of insanity and placed in a mental care facility after brutally murdering two innocent people in their own home and almost killing a third. Austin didn't even have to stand trial. Instead, he was ordered to spend an undefined period of time in a mental institution until he is deemed fit to be released back into the streets.
He'll never be. Right? Oh, God. Is he out?
Not yet.
No.
He's going to get out, though.
He will eventually.
It sounds like he's actually insane, so how's he going to get out?
Yeah, it's one of those things where if it's a matter of you're on medication or you eat people's face, there's no way to keep him on non-face eating medication all the time. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. If it's like, hey, you went a little crazy, and that's the thing. Bipolar in particular is one of those disorders that when you start to feel better, many, many times they go off of it. Because yeah. They're like, I feel good. I don't need this anymore. That's one of those.
Yeah.
You know, there's some where people will keep taking it. And
this
they
is
know.
Worse than bipolar. He's seeing shit permanently.
And, well, this is it's an extreme case of bipolar disorder, possibly with a little bit of schizophrenia mixed in there. And
right.
The thing
Which there's
is,
medications for all where he can be totally fine. But we can't have him out in the world worrying if that day is when he feels good enough to not take his fucking shit, right?
And that's the thing that makes me think that he's going to be getting out before most people want him to get out, because as soon as he gets on so he already got in on, like, they really handled this with kid gloves, and his parents are going to be staying on top of that. So as soon as he starts acting better, whatever person they have taking care of him at the mental hospital, as soon as they can say, like, oh yeah, you're clear to go, he's most likely going to be getting back out. And that's going to be after, I mean, this case has already kind of passed from public memory. So Austin Harriff getting out of a mental institution isn't really going to make that big of a headline.
And I wonder, I'll have to look it up, but in the same way that they parole you, they allow the victims to come to, you know, give statements whenever someone's up for parole to get out. The family of the victim or the victim themselves gets usually notified so that they can go to the hearing, give another victim impact, and be like, you cannot let this person out. So I don't know. It's probably not the same. It'd be
because
great
it's not
if
parole.
It's not parole. We feel like you're
It's
well
going to be
enough.
Up to the doctor. There's not going to be a parole hearing with any of the surviving family members there saying, like, giving their opinion. So, like, with the Manson case, a lot of the surviving members of the Manson family stayed in jail. Like, they're going to end up staying in jail for the rest of their lives, because every single time they come up for parole, the family show up. But with this, they're not going to have parole hearings like that. They're not going to have victims there to be able to
but
say,
you
like,
would think the people in the mental institution would be like, let's look at this case though, before we let him out, let's just look at the pictures of the guy's face being eaten off. And
I would hope so.
Because then there's got to be liable on their part, too. If you let this guy out and he does it again. But anyway.
This is him more recent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly got smaller after. Oh, no, he didn't go to prison. I was going to say a lot of people get bigger after prison, but he didn't go.
No. Committed.
I think that's good.
Being committed to a mental institution without a release date may seem like a life sentence, but in reality, his sentence is dependent on the doctor. Like we said, should the psychologist determine that Austin is no longer a threat to himself or others, he could be back on the streets in no time. So fear not, Austin Frosty fans. You may be getting a new album sooner than you think. Fuck that, dude. I need to keep up on this fucking guy.
Yeah. And where does he live? Where?
Florida.
Oh, yeah, Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
That's far enough away.
You would think, but dude, my God.
Florida man can travel very, very far.
If you got money and your daddy gives you the car keys.
A year and a day.
You're right. Doesn't even sound like the father even understands the gravity.
Oddly, that was the thing that bothered me the most about this case, was just especially the way that his father talks to him. Because it was a combination of, like, his dad, they did a Dr. Phil appearance where Dr. Phil actually interviewed Austin, and Austin showed a lot of remorse. His dad was, like we saw from the picture-in-picture earlier, his dad was crying and really upset about it. But the thing is, if and when he does get out, his dad's going to be treating him the same fucking way.
Right. Yeah. You taking your medication? Got a dinner. You want to come or not?
A good father does not go on national television and cry unless their son's innocent.
True. True.
Or dead.
So, Joel, you're not good. You're not good.
Yeah. This one got me. You guys got me.
There we go. Back on track.
We got you, dude. Back on track. I mean, my God.
Jesus.
A lot of things that are concerning about this case.
I think he is insane, though.
100%.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think so,
and
too.
I do not want to say I feel bad for a person that ate someone's face off. I don't. But he was a fucking kid that was telling everyone he knew that he was crazy. I'm crazy. This is what's happening. This is what I'm seeing. Like, this is what's going on. I'm freaking out.
He's not a kid, though. He's 18. He's 19.
That's a kid, bro.
Take yourself in.
19.
Huh? If I was seeing demons anytime, I'd be like, I need to see a doctor.
Oh, is that how it is?
Joel, I have never seen you willingly go to a doctor.
Look, I've never had a reason to go.
No, the brain is the scariest thing, like I was saying. When someone's like,
you're seeing
brain
shit all the time?
Breaks, and it's scary for even all of us should be scared of that. If your brain fucking turns on you, you don't know what's fucking real. You don't know what's a hallucination. You don't know, like, you don't know. You can't say, like, oh, I'm going to take myself to the doctor. Your brain is making you believe that doctors are going to kill you or whatever it is. And you're like, everything seems real. That to a normal person.
You can't question yourself. You're not able to question your own thoughts anymore.
I don't know what it is, but it
people
is.
People on average don't question themselves all that much in the first place. So somebody that's great, like, to
that
me.
That a piece is, and granted, he did it to himself with all the drugs. You can say all kinds of things, but when your brain betrays you, breaks, and goes against you, there's literally nothing you can do about it.
To me, that is the most terrifying thing that I can think of.
I would rather have
not being able to
trust
your
arm cut off, right? Or your legs stop working, whatever, when your brain, you never recover from it because you can't come out of it. It's like a crazy dream that you literally.
What does he say about it?
Well, he's maintained his innocence and not innocence. He's admitted
he had a blackout. He's going crazy.
Is he upset blacked about out, it? Is he like? Is
every
like
single interview
deal?
That I found, he was crying about it. He
and
seemed
even
genuinely
that call,
remorseful.
Even that call with the dad was, again, like, sad because he's like, is everybody scared? Like, he is just. Imagine coming out of that dream with medication and being told that you ate somebody's face off. Do you know what I'm saying? Like
imagine
the, like,
waking up after
a shock alone of that and being like, I what? And then maybe not even believing that.
Because
you weren't there for that. So you go, what are these doctors like lying to me? You know, it just
makes it worse almost. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's only there's really only a handful of things that you could put on par with any sort of mental illness when it comes to like physical issues, like actual physical things that can happen to your body, which I mean, the brain first place that you don't want to get fucked up because that's messing up your entire point of gathering information from the world. I mean, a few other places can make it rough too. Hands, wouldn't want to get my hands fucked up.
I'd take that over the brain making me feel like I'm legitimately half dog.
Yeah,
I would take no hands.
That's terrifying.
Every fucking time.
I know one physical condition that I think is up there, but not quite as bad.
Well, before we get to that, imagine the drugs they give you for no hands.
Oh, shit.
I mean, constant, right? Hey, I got no hands.
Imagine,
just give me the drugs.
Imagine a shroom trip without no hands. You already have phantom limb syndrome. So not only can you feel your hands, you think you can see them too.
Ugh.
That'd be cool.
Fun. And you know that it's a trip. And you know that when you come out of the mushroom, you know when it's over, you know what reality is. I would take that.
Still don't have hands.
Every fucking time. And you know, I still don't have hands, but I know I don't have hands.
Yeah.
And I know why.
Yeah.
I can't connect that, can I?
Connect what?
No hands and like a prolapse. I don't know.
I was trying to feed it to
you. I know, but what am I?
The easiest thing is like.
Is it the easiest? You take it.
I'll tell you one thing. Take it. The worst thing I can think of is having a mental disorder where something's fucked up with my brain. But one thing that I'm used to at this point in my life is a chronic prolapse.
Yes. Yes. And you can wrap your head around it.
I can wrap it around my head. It's hanging way out there.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.